going on, everyone? Hello. Let me put that guitar away. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. How are you today? I just want to start really quick by just apologizing for yesterday. My guest, her son, got into a motorcycle accident, but I have since found that everything was not as bad as it could have been. He was thrown off his bike and was basically tossed into some grass. So it wasn't gravel, it wasn't street or anything. So luckily, he ended up being fairly okay for how bad it could have been. So I just want to apologize for yesterday. I decided I wasn't prepared to do a show other than the interview that I had set up. So we have rescheduled it to Tuesday. So Code of Vets will be joining me on Tuesday. And yeah, another thing, I messed up, everybody. I apologize. I messed up the zip code on my P.O. box. In the description below is the real P.O. box. The zip code was wrong. I am very sorry. The last two numbers were swapped, and that's on me. That's on me. Sorry. What, mic is low? I haven't changed any settings forever. You know what I do? I'm gonna blame OBS. But I will turn it up though. Let me see if I can turn it up. Okay. Is that better? I don't understand why it would be different. I turned the gain up on the microphone. Is that better, everyone? It is low, huh? Well, I know it's a bad mistake, Miles. I feel so silly for doing that. So yeah, that was blame Biden. Nah, I take responsibility for my own actions, and I definitely messed up. So I apologize. If anyone did send me something, thank you. And I'm sorry. It might come back. And if it does, I apologize. Now it's high? Make up your mind, chat. All right, today we're going to be talking about a few things. I've been pushing back a couple of these simulation theory. I've got this interesting article about how scientists have created an AI that created a universe, and it's so smart that it started doing things they didn't understand. It's like teaching a computer what a dog and a cat is, and then it sees an elephant and says, "Oh, look, an elephant. Interesting." So it's interesting. So we're going to talk about that. I got a cool article about that. And then I have another article about how there's this 830 million year old salt rock that they think might have life inside of it, because when you move it, there's actually some liquid inside of it, and they're contemplating opening it up and seeing what's inside. Smart idea, bad idea? I don't know. What do you guys think? I guess that we'll get into it. But my main subject today is fatherlessness. And I'm going to start this by reading something from Sejong the Great. You guys might recognize the name. It's someone who's constantly in chat and an ardent supporter of mine. I really appreciate his support nonstop. He posted this in my locals a few days ago because he was out serving. He's a service member. And I'm going to read this. He posted this on my locals page, and I'm going to read it to you in its complete form. He says, "I literally come home from a world where, realistically, society would call some of these people children. They're young adults, sailors, but their age astounds you. 18, 19, 20, 21, etc. They are in charge of managing and maintaining a multi-billion dollar warship. And they do it to the best of their ability. Then I come home and I'm surrounded by these college-aged adults who can't take out the trash on trash day, bring in the trash cans in a timely manner, do their laundry in a single day, etc., etc. I'm not the crazy one here. Literally, these people are garbage." So that last line, that they're garbage, I don't know if I necessarily agree with you, Sejong. I think that they're children. I think fatherlessness is a huge, huge issue. And Governor DeSantis actually just released a statement saying exactly that. How? Let me just pull this up and I'll show you guys. He says, DeSantis, if you had every kid in America had a loving father in a home, we would have a far, far fewer problems than we would have to deal with as a society. And now I'm going to read this article, but before I do, I want to kind of go back. These kids that, you know, not every service member is from a fatherless home. But what is the military? You know, what do you do when you enter the military? Well, you get smacked upside the head, not physically, but, you know, like you get told you got to do it this way. Show up on time, do it correctly, do it exactly as you're supposed to, get it done, no excuses. Now, what does that remind you of? What is that? It's kind of like a father. It's very similar in the sense where it's kind of smacking you smacking you in the head because you're supposed to get up and do the work. You're supposed to be accountable. You have responsibilities. And if you don't do your responsibilities, you are held accountable for that, right? If you start slacking off in the military, you think that they're going to let it slide? No, not at all. Now, I've never joined the military myself. I did think about it when I was younger. My brother just got out of the Marines, and my uncle was in Vietnam. I have many, many family members. My grandfather served in World War II. I have many service members in my family. I'm quite proud of every single one of them. But fatherlessness it's definitely an issue. I mean, I look back at my father when I was a kid, and one thing that I learned from him was you gotta work. He got pregnant with my mom at 22, I think he was, with my older sister. You know, and he gave up everything and just started working his ass off. You know, and then I think about it, I'm like, huh, well, what is the ultimate, what was the ultimate accountability or like holding you to accountability? Well, in the past, it was when you got the girl pregnant. Thankfully, my dad held true to that tradition because he busted his ass and gave me a great childhood. And I thank my father for that. And I really, looking back, I always respected my dad, but you know, seeing as an adult, looking at that, seeing what he did for me, like I have the utmost respect for my father. One thing that has changed in society is when a girl gets pregnant, what do? Well, they go get an abortion. Well, simple as that. No more being accountable. No more. You have to get your life in order because you now have another life you have to care for. We got rid of that completely. And in doing that, we lost the essence of being held accountable for your actions and remaining a child. Jordan Peterson talks about this in Maps of Meaning, about Pinocchio, Pleasure Island, where it's a bunch of kids that go to this island that do a bunch of adult stuff, but they're kids. And the key is they want to keep them there forever and then make them slaves. That's kind of what's happening. A lot of these people are welcoming communism. Why? Because they're thinking in their heads they're just going to get everything that they desire. Well, they don't understand communism, obviously, because they'll probably be out swinging rocks or digging fields and working all day long, and communism is the worst. It's terrible. It's killed millions, hundreds of millions of people over the past 100 years. You know, we've lost this essence of my life suddenly is beyond my own once I have a child. You know, we have the society built off of, whatever, you can get rid of it. Or if it happens, whatever. You know, guys just leave. You know, women are left raising a child on their own. Most often, sometimes it's the other way around in rare instances, but it does happen. You know, we have just the fact that there's no father in the home. Look at what a mother does. You know, she's a nurturer. Good, right? It's not a bad thing. I'm not calling it a bad thing, but when you only have that, you know, we there's the term snowplow parenting. Well, what does that come from? You know, it's from a nurturer standpoint. I want to nurture you. I want to protect you from the evils of the world, from the microaggressions that are out there that you might think are bad for the child, when in reality, embarrassment is growth. Being shamed is growth. Being ridiculed is growth. Losing is growth. And the father is supposed to tell you, brush that dirt off of your knees, get up, and be stronger, and learn from that, right? A father isn't supposed to be the nurturer. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but in the figures, the mother and the father is the nurturer, the father is the military, essentially, of the family. Get up, be responsible for your actions, do the work that needs to be done. Life is going to kick you in the ass, and if you don't prepare for that ass kicking, you're going to be a sucker in this life. And we have this, look at them all growing up, look at them all trying to be teachers, look at them all teaching children today that you can be a child forever. Color your hair pink and wear tie-dye and cut your dick off. I mean, that's, you know, that's not hyperbolic. They are literally doing that. There's this trans, I don't know, man, God, there's so much bullshit like this out there, but I just read about how Libs of TikTok posted about a tweet that was deleted. There was a drag queen, all these drag queen things, specifically tweeting out, are you under the age of 18? Hit us up. We want you to come dance for us on our stage. Reaching out to minors to dance for them. This is absurd. And, you know, they're becoming an enemy. No, they are the enemy. These people that are going after children, they're enemies now. To me, you are my enemy if you're going after a child. Of course, they quickly deleted the tweet because maybe they didn't realize that that's pretty bad. Reaching out to children. Hey, children under 18, hit us up. We want you to dance in drag for us. I have issues with that. All right? I love DeSantis, man. This guy is just... Every time he steps up to the plate, he is knocking it out of the park. I 100% believe this is true. Fatherlessness is the main source of societal problems, calls on dads to step up. Look, if you get someone pregnant, it's time to step up. That's it. You had your childhood. I mean, as soon as you start fucking, because you know what that's for? That's for making children, right? When you start having sex, that is when you're, all right, fine. If you're going to have sex, you got to understand that if you get pregnant, it's time for you to become an adult and care for that child. But no one wants to do that. They want to be a child forever. We need to get rid of that mentality because that mentality is killing us. We are slowly being strangled by all of these children that are adult age children that want to maintain that, that don't want to grow up. Well, though, they don't want to grow up. They don't want to be accountable for their actions. No. We're going to blame the Republicans. We're going to blame conservatives. They're going to blame me. I'm sick of it. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis points to fatherlessness as a main source of societal problems, echoing observations performed by sociologists and psychologists you've diagnosed, or excuse me, who've diagnosed numerous societal issues to the current lack of fathers. Speaking in a late May interview with First Class Fatherhood, the Republican governor called on fathers to set an example for their children by being interested and present in their daily lives. The Daily Wire reported, "If you have every child in America had a loving father in a home, we would have far, far fewer problems that we would have to deal with as a society." 100%. Do you think there are a lot of problems? Oh, excuse me. I do think there are a lot of problems, but if you could just snap your finger and do one thing, and you did this, where the fathers were in the home, you would not even need to worry about a lot of these other problems, he added. Data provided by the U.S. Census Bureau strongly correlates with DeSantis' remarks. According to the numbers, over 18 million children in the United States who make up, who make up one out of every four kids grow up without a father in their home. One out of four children in America. That is just a sad number. DeSantis and his administration are using these statistics to urge fathers to be present in their kids' lives. And the governor himself has chosen to lead by example by raising several kids of his own, sacrificing his time at the office to be closer to his family. I love this guy. "When my daughters were born, I was a member of Congress at the time, up in Washington," said the governor, who, "I'm looking at myself, I'm sitting in my office in D.C. wondering, why the hell am I up here? I really want to be back down." Prior to his position as Florida's governor, DeSantis served as member of the U.S. House of Representatives to represent Florida's 6th District. He told the podcast that he now has more duties as governor, but he still finds the job to be more family-friendly due to his office proximity to his home. "I can go out and do stuff all day and be home for dinner," he said. "Even if I get home late, I see them in the morning. And so part of the reason why I ended up running for governor is because I had two young kids at home. So if I'm going to be to do public service, I wanted to make sure I could do it in a way that is family friendly. I try to get back for dinner, try to get back to put them to bed, get them up in the morning, and of course, doing as many activities with them as possible," DeSantis added, telling the podcast how he tries to keep his children involved in his duties. "I brought my son to a multi-city stop one day. We did a bunch of press conferences. The last press conference, he fell asleep on the floor during the press conference, so I had to grab him and take him out," he shared with a smile. "We do make an effort to involve them and let them be able to see what is really, what a really great state to live in." The governor's remarks come following his passage of legislation in April, which aims to support fathers and their children by connecting boys with mentorship programs and men with career services. "There are more than 18 million children in our country who live without a father in their home," said DeSantis at the signing event. "This has a severe impact on children and often leads to dropping out of school, crime, and substance abuse. Incredibly, there are those who diminish the importance of fatherhood and the nuclear family. We will not let that happen in our state. I am proud to say we are doing everything we can to support involved fatherhood in Florida." Honestly, best governor in America right now. I mean that. He is the best governor in America. Name a better one. Name someone who's doing more for their citizens. You know, you have to be financially literate to graduate school in Florida. Amazing. Florida's setting the path to have the strongest new generation. It's amazing. That's what we need. Financial literacy is incredible. That's what we need. You should be learning that. You should be understanding taxes. You should be understanding politics and not just like how the government works. It's like, no, who's your local legislators? What are they working on? What laws are being worked on right now? Like, you should get a baseline for understanding politics so that we're not just clueless going out into the world like, man, I got to work really hard just to pay rent. It's like, that's a whole nother issue. Because when you have a strong family, a nuclear family, you know, sometimes living at home isn't so bad. I mean, for most of humanity, families lived together for most of their lives until a daughter got married and then, you know, went into a different family's home, you know, that was a potential. Or a son, you know, got married and got their own house. You know, it's like that stuff happens, but it shouldn't be frowned upon nowadays. Now it's almost like if you don't have your own place, you know, you're a failure in life. I know some very successful people that I was actually living with my mom for a little bit. Granted, I was helping her, and you know, there's like an in-law suite, so it kind of worked out really well. But I don't know. I just think that we are moving in the wrong direction, and there's one governor who's doing the right thing, moving in the right direction, and that's Governor DeSantis. So I give him props. I don't even know if I want to. I have this other article. It's just so frustrating. I'll just show you. I'll just show you a little bit. I don't want to read this one. It's just there is so much of this shit going around. Drag queen events for kids. It's like what is this? You know, we're talking about fatherlessness. You know, a lack of father in the home, and this is men dressing up as women in front of kids. Look, I don't care if you want to dress up in drag. That doesn't bother me. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do, right? But why are you feeling the need to do it in front of kids? That's fucked up. That's weird, all right? That's like pedophilia shit, okay? I don't like it. It confuses children. You're doing it on purpose because you want to indoctrinate them. You want to see them in drag. You want to see those kids dance. That's why they deleted that tweet. They're like, oh shit, this is probably going to be frowned upon because people are going to look at it like we want to watch kids dance. And it's like, that's exactly what you posted. Well, no, we just want to give them a space to come out. It's like, oh, to you adults? I'm sick of it, yo. I don't want to get annoyed. I'm borderline. I get pissed, dude. I have no more patience for this shit. Seriously, no more patience. Let's talk about the simulation theory. Let's move on. This is dope. Check this out. Check out the story. AI simulates the universe, and not even its creators know how it's so accurate. For the first time, scientists have used artificial intelligence to create complex three-dimensional simulations of the universe. It's called the Deep Density Displacement Model, or D3M, and it's so fast and so accurate that the astrophysicists who designed it don't even know how it does what it does. What it does is accurately simulate the way gravity shapes the universe over billions of years. Each simulation takes just 30 milliseconds compared to the minutes it takes other simulations. And even more fascinatingly, D3M learned from the 8,000 training simulations that the team fed it, vastly extrapolating from and outperforming them, able to adjust parameters in which it had not even been trained. It's like teaching an image recognition software with lots of pictures of cats and dogs, but then it's able to recognize elephants, says astrophysicist Shirley Ho of the Flatiron Institute and Carnegie Mellon University. No one knows how it does this, and it's a great mystery to be solved. Observations of the universe around us can supply a lot of information about its evolution, but there are limits to what we can see. This is why simulations can be so handy. By running simulations that produce results that match our observations as well as simulations that don't, scientists can figure out scenarios most likely to have produced the universe we live in. But the complexity of our universe's history makes such simulations rather computationally taxing, which means they can take time to run. A single study could require thousands of simulations in order to obtain useful statistical data. This is where D3M developed by an international team of computational astrophysicists comes in. It calculates how, over 13.8 billion years, the age of the universe, gravity moves billions of particles in space. If we were to simulate this particle movement with a non-AI powered software, it could take up to 300 hours of computation for a single high-accurate simulation. You could also get it done in just a couple of minutes, but the accuracy will greatly suffer. To overcome this problem, the research team decided to develop a neural network for running the simulations and trained D3M by feeding it with 8,000 different simulations from a model with the highest accuracy produced to date. Once D3M's training was complete and the AI was running accurately, it was ready to take for a test drive. The researchers asked it to simulate a universe in a box around 600 million light years per side. To judge its output, the team also ran the same simulation with the excruciatingly slow hundreds of hours method and the method that takes just a couple of minutes. As expected, the slow method produced the most accurate result, while the quick one produced a relative error of 9.3%. D3M has blown all previous quick methods out of the water. It performed its simulation in just 30 milliseconds, and compared to the slow but super accurate model, it only had a relative error of 2.8. Even more impressively, although it had not been trained on a single set of parameters, the neural network could predict the structure formation of the simulated universe based on other parameters it had not even been trained in. For instance, the amount of dark matter was varied. This means the AI could have a flexibility that makes it suited for a range of simulation tasks. Although before that happens, the team hopes to figure out how exactly it has managed to do what it does. We can be an interesting playground for a machine learner to use to see why this model extrapolates so well, why it extrapolates to elephants instead of just recognizing cats and dogs, Ho said. It's a two-way street between science and deep learning. This research was published in PNAS. Okay, what do you think of immediately when you see this or when you hear about this? Well, obviously, the first thing that I think about is simulation theory. The fact that there is a chance that we are, in fact, in a simulation. That this is actually the Matrix. We are not, we are just a computer simulation on someone's computer. I see Andreas. Are you loving this right now? I would, honestly, I would love to hear what Andreas has to think about this, or has to say about this. You know, what are the chances? I forget who said it. It was Stephen Hawking or one of the astrophysicists. They were like, there's like a 99% chance that this is, in fact, a simulation. Who knows? One thing I do know is that I wake up every day, and I'm grateful to wake up every day, and I'm alive, and I'm grateful for what I have. I'm grateful for all of you. Maybe when I die, my energy will return to, the source. I don't know. And I will take the VR headset off and be like, that was a fun game, and go home from the arcade. Who knows? Not me. I'll know when I die. Other than that, I have no idea. Everyone talks smack on AI until they need someone to dig the neural net ditches. Yeah, that's what Andreas says. That's funny. I would actually invite him on, but I'm not on StreamYard, so I am on OBS, so I can't actually have him join. Alive in the simulation. Well, that's the thing. You know, this D3M created a universe. And in this universe, there's an Earth with humans on it. Would they know that they're humans? Would they know that they're in this? I don't know. I think it's fun to ponder. I think it's a very interesting thing to imagine. You know, it gets the imagination moving in the brain. And I like that. I love that kind of stuff. All right, let's talk about this 830 million year old life. Who knows? I don't know if it's true. Scientists want to open an 830 million year old crystal with potential life inside. That's right. I think this is a terrible idea. just gonna start by saying I think it's an absolutely horrendous idea. Who the hell knows what is in this? You know, it could be some fatal disease that will just wipe us out. Scientists recently announced the tantalizing discovery of an ancient prokaryotic. I'm not saying that. Prokaryotic. I think I'm going to go with that. Prokaryotic. There it is. Okay. Prokaryotic and algal cells, which may potentially still be alive, inside of an 830 million year old rock salt crystal. Now the researchers have spoken a little bit more about their recent study and suggested that they have plans to crack open the crystal in hopes of revealing whether this ancient life is truly still alive. Now, before I continue reading this, can you imagine if you're, you know, you've got this society and it's a beautiful society, self-sustaining, you know, everyone's happy. You're living in this little crystal and suddenly scientist breaks it open and everything dies. Wouldn't that suck? Just saying. What's up, Sejong? How you doing, man? That's a good question. He just super chatted. He said, the age old question, which came first, the universe or its simulation? And how many simulations are we in? Because we are creating universes. So who's to say that if we are a simulation, right? Let's just say we are living in the matrix. Who's then to say that there isn't a matrix on the level up, you know? If we're close to creating a matrix, then why wouldn't it be plausible that we're in a matrix? And then, you know, how many matrixes are there? Is there eventually a world where it's the real world, like Morpheus says, welcome to the real world? It's really interesting. Anyway, let's get back to it. Initially reported in the journal Geology earlier this month, the team used a selection of imaging techniques to discover well-preserved organic solids locked within fluid inclusions embedded in an 830 million-year-old piece of rock salt, also known as halite. They argued that these objects bear an uncanny resemblance to cells of prokaryotic and algae. Crystallized rock salt is not capable of sustaining ancient life by itself, so the potential microorganisms are not simply locked within the crystals, like an ant trapped in amber. As rock salt crystals form through the evaporation of salty seawater, they can trap small amounts of water and microscopic organisms in primary fluid inclusions. A video of this incredible crystal can be seen below. Notice how a bubble can be seen within the crystal as the researchers gently move it around. It's within this small fluid-filled cavity they found potential hints of life. Let me see if this works, actually. Yeah, it does. Hold on. Let me check this out. See the little bubble there? Oh my gosh, it's so fast. And now we play the waiting game. No, you saw it. It's fine. We don't have to wait for that to load again. Since previous work has indicated that microscopic life can perhaps survive in a dormant state within the fluid inclusions of salt crystals for hundreds of millions of years, the team are keen to find out whether these tiny cells might still be alive. Speaking to NPR, study author Kathy Bennison, a geologist from the West Virginia University, said they aim to open up the crystal to confirm whether these organic objects truly are still alive or whether they have perished. Man, you know, this kind of conversation, you know, I started the show by talking about fatherlessness and how, you know, abortion are basically just a lack of accountability and a ability to maintain childhood forever. And it makes me think of Tom McDonald. He has a line in one of his songs where bacteria is life on Mars, but a heartbeat isn't life on Earth. Weird. It's People Are So Stupid. I think that's the name of the song. you know, people would argue that, you know, a clump of cells isn't life. You know, and I'm becoming more conservative by the day. That's, I'll tell you. But, you know, these people will look at this. These people that are pro-abortion, pro-choice, you know, they'll look at this and be like, this is so cool. What if there is life in there? They don't even make the connection. The fact that if this is life, but somehow on conception, it's not life. You know, how does their logic break that down, right? How do they justify that in their brains? Well, they don't, right? Because they're not taking responsibility for their actions. That's the thing. They never learned that. They were taught that everything's everyone else's fault and they will be sheltered forever. And that's what they want. They want to be sheltered forever. They don't want to face responsibilities. They want to be just taken care of. They want to be coddled forever. Fuck that. Anyway, bring it back here. There are little cubes of the original liquid from which the salt grew. And the surprise for us is that we also saw shapes of what are consistent with what we could expect from microorganisms, and that could still be surviving within that 830-million-year-old preserved microhabitat, Bennison told NPR. While bringing the 830-million-year-old life forms back into the modern world might not sound like the most apocalyptic-proof plan, she's confident that it can be carried out with the utmost caution. A few minutes later... zombie movie. Does it sound like the start of a zombie movie? I mean, it is like the perfect plot point. I mean, this is reality, though. They're actually going to cut this open and look at and see if it's life. And then, who knows? Enter some sort of zombie franchise to take this and run with it. It does sound like a really bad B movie. But there's a lot of detailed work that's been going on for years to try to figure out how to do that in the safest way possible. Yeah, it's really easy. Don't. You just don't. Other scientists agreed with Bennison that if carried out cautiously and correctly, the feat should not be a concern. After all, an organism that is millions of years older than humans is unlikely to be well adapted to infect us or bring harm. Okay. These scientists are going to be the death of all of us. It's scientists like this that say that line. After all, an organism that is millions of years older than humans is unlikely to be well adapted to infect us or bring harm. Now, I am not a doctor. Okay? I'm not. So, who knows? Maybe they're right. But I don't believe them. I don't want them to bring that shit out. Mm-mm. No. Leave that shit in there. There's no need. What is the point? Why are they... What's the reason? Why? You know, to study it, obviously. But the risk, I mean, I don't trust it. I don't think it's a good idea. An environmental organism that has never seen a human is not going to have the mechanism to get inside of us and cause disease. So I personally, from a science perspective, have no fear of that. Yeah, cool. You might not. I don't care. Bonnie Baxter. You got a great name. I'll give you that. Bonnie Baxter says, I don't fear it. So it's fine. No. Keep that. See, we can't even hold things in labs now. I'm gonna leave that statement. I'm going to put a period right there. I'm just gonna put a period in that. And I think it says enough. No level 3 emergency tiered system can keep a virus from getting out. All right. What if it does just kill all the scientists? You know, who knows? I think this is a terrible idea, and we should never do it. There's already... I can't even say that, Akeem. That's funny, though. Everyone in chat should go read his, he just tagged me in a funny sentence. You know, the permafrost is thawing and there's like anthrax, the outbreaks in Siberia. And it's like, because the ground is thawing out and stuff that has been frozen there is getting out and there's outbreaks happening. You know, just because there wasn't humans 830 million years ago doesn't mean that, you know, it wasn't an incredibly vicious, you know, organism that seeks out mammals or flesh, you know, blood or whatever it does. Who knows? I don't think it's a good idea. I do not think it's a good idea. Robert Wiles celebrating 18 months. Wow. Thank you so much, Robert. I really appreciate that. He says, I hope this makes Betty smile and Diana Francisco smile. For those who don't know, Betty is actually Diana's mother, and Diana is constantly in chat. I see you, Diana. She's chilling right there in chat. I hope Betty is doing well, and I hope you both smile, just like Robert does every day. And I have to get a shot in my back to help with the pain. Be blessed. You're all good, Adam. Well, thank you. Medical stuff. All right. Well, I hope it all works out. Miles Dolding says, our sons don't know how to become men. Yes, you're right. Absolutely. Sons do not know how to become men if men don't teach them. That's why a lot of military men become men. You know, it's very rare to see a military guy that, you know, isn't accountable for his own actions. You know, there's a lot of vets that don't, I mean, PTSD and people, veterans who have gone through some crazy shit, that's a different story, right? That's like, there are two different things here. You know, that I've heard some horror stories from my uncle. He wrote a book, actually, about what he went through. And, you know, I got a lot of respect for anyone who chooses to serve something greater than themselves. We need to, we got to get more help to them. I mean, that's why, I don't know if you guys remember, the Commodore's Reserve, my coffee, proceeds go to 22 Until None, which is a nonprofit to help veterans. And then Code of Vets was going to join me yesterday. She's going to be joining me on Tuesday. And she basically just raises money for veterans on the daily. She's constantly posting. We save this person's rent. We save this person. We helped pay their car payment. We helped pay their mortgage. We helped give them food for their children. It is just, it's one of my favorite accounts to follow. And whenever I get a viral tweet, you know, everyone's like, follow my show. Fuck that. I say, follow Code of Vets. Go give them some love. Please go donate to some veterans, because veterans need our help a lot more than Ukraine does, you know. And I'm not for Russia invading. I'm just, why are we sending our money? Why are we sending weapons? Why are we sending more war? Why aren't we vying for peace? I'm just, yes, Rose, I am also relieved that her son is okay. I agree. Jerry Vision for $25 says, life is beautiful. You're damn right, Jerry. Life is beautiful. You know, and we wouldn't know it was so beautiful if you don't go through some hard times. You know, life is ups and downs, roller coaster. Sometimes you're going fast, sometimes it's slow, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. But if you were never down, you would never know how good it is to be up. So cherish the moments that you're up. Sleep is the cousin of death says, put crack in minority neighborhoods in the 1980s and 90s, then be confused when there's no family in poor communities, and then blames the fathers. Wow. Okay. I think that's also an issue that, you know, there's, you know, crack, drugs, then blames the fathers. Well, I appreciate you showing up anyway, Sleep. I think that's definitely an issue where the government is putting drugs on the streets. I mean, the amount of fentanyl that's coming over and they're not doing shit about it. They want that fentanyl in America. Guaranteed they want that fentanyl in America, or they're being paid to do that. Yo, sleep. I see you ranting in chat. Look, I don't want anything going to Israel either. I don't want it. Why are you calling me conservative also? Jeez. I don't want any weapons going anywhere else. I want to focus on America and make America strong. Fuck sending our tax dollars anywhere else. But I like your fiery spirit, Sleep. Hellsnake says, after 10,000 years, I am free. Time to conquer Earth. What is that from? That sounds like it's from something, and I can't actually think of what that's from. But nobody said that in January. What, you think? I'm just one person, dude. I'm literally just one guy on the internet talking about my opinions on things. You're barking up the wrong tree, dude. Make punk rock great again for 10. What's up? How you doing, man? If a fetus isn't life, then how come they claim they have found life on Mars? Right, that's the age-old thing, you know? What is life on Mars? Is bacteria life on Mars? If some clumps of cells that move around, is that life on Mars? If so, then wouldn't all abortions just then be murder? I don't know. Guys, I know this may disappoint you, and I don't know if you can hear it, but my voice is a little effed up right now. Yeah, I've been having a little bit of trouble. so I don't know if I can sing. I'm not feeling very confident in my vocals currently. I'm looking like a newbie trucker right now. Yeah. You know what? I haven't worn this shirt in a long time. I'll be honest. I don't even know if I've ever worn this shirt before. I found it in my closet, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. That'll work. I just kind of throw clothes on. That's how I get dressed in the morning. But you know what? It's really soft. It's a really soft soft shirt. I really like it. I like soft shirts. I'm a sucker for soft clothes. And most of my clothes are really soft because they're all like 10 years old. I've had my clothes forever. I don't get new clothes if I don't need it. You know, I only like to get clothes if I need clothes. You know, I beat the shit out of my stuff, and I don't see the need. I also, you know, I was a model, and I saw the industry of clothes being thrown away, being recycled, the new seasons, the new stuff, sell, sell, sell. I hated it. You know, I'm a big fan of, I used to stitch old shirts that were falling apart together with old jeans that were falling apart and make the jeans last a couple more years. And it would be cool because, you know, I would take, I don't know, I had whatever thing in the front, I would cut that out and then stitch it on, like hand stitch it. I would sew it by hand into the jeans and make the jeans last longer. So it was a lot of fun. But anyway, oh, thank you, Rose. I appreciate that. Is Adam microdosing today? No. Why would you think that, Nuclear? That's a crazy question. Yeah, my clothes get old too sometimes. Yeah, you guys are awesome. I really appreciate you all. Thank you very much. I really hope you guys have a great weekend. I got some really benevolent dreams. I don't know if you're in chat right now, but this guy made the coolest freaking intro. You know this? You guys know this part? So he took that and made a bass staff version of it. All right? So you guys are going to see it on Monday. Brand new intro. He keeps making songs too. It's very cool, but I love the one that he did. Why is everyone making coffee? I've been making coffee for 2 years. Everyone else is jumping on the bandwagon. That's what that's about. Anyway, I hope you guys all have a great weekend. I love each and every single one of you. Good night.
Please smash the like button for The Krigler Show. Coming to you live Monday through Friday, 6:30 Eastern Time.